Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Monday, April 22nd. If you've been with us for a while, you can probably hear my voice. Still not very good at this point, but good enough that the show can go on. Unfortunately, I had a little problem at the end of last week trying to get through some of these allergies and just how that's affected me. But we will be able to talk about this. Hopefully the raspy voice doesn't bother you too much here. Hopefully I can make it through without losing it. But we have a pretty decent Monday slate. I noticed that early in the season here, there's a lot of most Mondays have 10, 11, 12 games, which is nice. Later on in the season, I think it starts to dwindle down a little bit, but a pretty little Monday slated day game, which is nice that we continue this stretch of almost every day having at least one day game, which is a really nice change so far. I don't know if it'll continue, but I sure hope it does. But again, if you're not with us over on Dub Club, you can check that out. Get a free trial to start you out there with the QR code there. The link in the show description. Picks when you can't watch the show. A lot of summaries, a lot of information, a lot of details. When starting pitcher changes happen, all those updates. And really, I think one of the biggest benefits is I'm not able to put every bit of information on the slides here, but there's a lot available to you on Dub Club. All the thresholds for the A grade prices, the B grade prices, for the money lines, run lines, first fives, all sorts of goodies, weather details, pitcher information, all these underlying metrics. I talk about a little bit of details there. A bunch of information over there on Dub Club. If you have not yet, check that out with a link in the show description. Last week, kind of a ho-hum week. The show picks did not do as well as we'd hoped. Hopefully, again, we can continue to... we can start turning that around. The first five totals continue to do well. The first five sides broke even, but started off the first part of the season strong enough that they still have a nice little 13% ROI on the season. Full game recommended sides, very break even. The A grade sides are doing well. I've not done great picking the B and C grade sides so far. That was part of the reason why we talked about the show picks haven't done well. And the change, there might be a lot of new people here today watching. And so if that's the case, welcome. But that's why we shifted really recently into a morning show rather than a night before show in order for the first five markets to be out there so that I can kind of choose among those. And so I think that'll turn around the show picks here, the recommended picks, and just maybe make it where I don't feel like I have to stretch as much for a full game pick. We can just kind of stick to the full game A grade sides as much as possible, other than the spot or two where we like a B grade or a C grade. And so I really like that change. I think it makes a lot of sense. And so hopefully that can come to fruition for us here. Play of the day, starting to rebound, struggling early on, uncharacteristically for the play of the day. I'm not sure we've ever had a losing month for the play of the day, to be completely honest. It's been, the bad months have been break even, the good months have been really good. Fighting our way back to that break even point. A couple more winners should we be there. We had a 5-day winning streak in the Cardinals blew it for us yesterday. But still a good week for the play of the day. The extra credit first five free pick over on Twitter. I forgot to post one of them, and I posted that one. We'd had a winning record for the week, but either way, still breaking even and doing pretty well overall for that. And even got two winners on Sunday, posted a pick, and then the starting pitcher changed. And it's a tough thing because the standard for a sharp book, which is how we operate on here, is going to be that's going to be a push. And then the new price wasn't great, but I know a lot of you are playing at domestics and places where that's not the case. And that may be starting to change. I'm not really sure exactly where some of the sharp books are going to go with this, but if you had action on that, you won that pick as well. And then you won the other one that we gave out. So you actually got two winners on the first fives over there. So a lot of good things happening here. And again, as always, trying to maximize the good and minimize the bad going forward. And so we will hopefully continue to do that here. Some quick reminders and rules if you're interested in model information. PicksWithTheProfessor.com/new will get you a little bit of a debrief there. We are projecting the average game. One game is unknown. A great example of that happened yesterday where there was a 0-0 after nine innings game in Coors. And that wasn't really a game that we expected that. I've been playing some of these energy in Coors, and it's been doing pretty well for us. On the days where it's been about 40 degrees, maybe under, you know, wind blowing in, and it really mitigates the effect of that park. But we weren't expecting that Sunday. It was a little bit of a chilly day, slight wind blowing in, but it wasn't that bad. And so, one game, anything can happen, right? And so that's why we always talk about responsible gambling, keeping your bet size to a maximum of 5% of your bankroll. And that's if you love it. Most bets should be more in the 1, 2, 3% range of your bankroll, to be honest, because there's variance in one game. Anything can happen. And our whole plan here is slow and steady long run profits. We can do that because we have a fairly well calibrated model here. What we mean by that is when we say a team wins 55% of the time, they will probably win about 11 out of 20 times, but they will lose 9 out of 20 times. And you say, how's that possible? They only play once. Well, what we mean by that is the collection of games that we say win 55% of the time, we will probably get about 11 of them. And that's what's going to help us be profitable, because we know that of the next 20 games that we say win 55% of the time, because we know we're going to win about 11 of them, we know to pass on anything if the price isn't good enough, but to play it if the price is good enough. And that's what makes anything a good bet at the right price or right number. That doesn't mean that right price or right number is ever going to be available. But if it is, that's when we want to take advantage of it. There are no locks in gambling, of course. A grades are not locks. They just mean they are the best value. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. I never want you to bet anything you are not comfortable with. And if you can, please like the show. It helps other people find us, and that helps keep us relevant in the YouTube world, which is always good. So if you can like the show, we would really appreciate that. We're going to start off here with a day game, 1:05 p.m. Eastern, Athletics and the Yankees. About 60 degrees for the totality of this game. Wind blowing out a little bit towards right field, 5 to 10 miles an hour. It's going to play fairly neutral with regards to the weather. The wind blowing out will probably offset the fact that it's a little bit chillier than average, so the ball should carry like normal. Yankee Stadium is a slight pitcher-friendly ballpark. Talked about this here recently, so if you're new with us, if you're not new with us, I apologize for the quick a recap of what I said a couple times last week. But Yankee Stadium, there's kind of a myth around there that it's a hitter-friendly ballpark. That's not true. It can play pretty hitter-friendly in the summer when it's hot, the wind blowing out, but that applies to just about every ballpark in the country other than the ones on the West Coast. Overall, it's actually got a park factor of 98. That's for its 3 years rolling last year. Current season doesn't really matter. All of them are in the 98 range, where 100 is average and lower is fewer runs. That's, of course, how all my grades work here, where 100 is average, lower is fewer runs, higher is more. And so Yankee Stadium slightly pitcher friendly overall, and it'll probably play about like that today. Not extremely pitcher friendly, but not really overly hitter friendly. JP Sears and Carlos are on a pair of lefties in the mound today. Sears, 4.35 ERA in his 4 starts. Underlying metrics are fairly concerning. His overall grade is okay. He was decent enough last year. Underlying metrics were much better last year. So we're kind of trying to balance that. What we saw from him last year, knowing how younger guys, you know, improve, because he's still a young guy. He's not like he's in his 30s at this point. Balancing that with so far in his 4 starts, things haven't gone exactly well for him. So below average, as most of the pitchers other than Blackburn are for the A's. Maybe Stripling hangs around that average mark. But, you know, you expect a really good Yankees offense to be able to hit. I mean, Yankees offense that now has dropped to number 5 and doesn't do as well against lefties. They are a little bit left-handed heavy. So that's, of course, a slight note, but they're still a well above average offense against lefties and against the below average pitcher. They should score plenty of runs. They are big favorites. They should be big favorites. The official pick, though, is we're not going to go with the Yankees. We're going to go with the over 8. It's an A grade at minus 115. The model's projecting 8.8. And the reason why is because I talked about the struggles of JP Sears, but Carlos Rodon's kind of in a similar boat. And I've mentioned that in a couple of his starts already this season. 4 starts this year, 3.66 ERA. But as you've long talked about, ERA is not really the best predictive measure of how a pitcher performed. It attributes certain things solely to the defense or solely to the pitcher that we know are not exactly 100% the pitcher's fault or the fielder's fault. And in the long run, that tends to balance out. But you'd be surprised at how long run needs to be. It's actually more than a full season. there based off of just how different luck things can happen, you know, batting average or balls in play, et cetera. So we like to look at those underlying metrics, which are much more predictive than ERA, and they aren't good for Rodon. FIP in the mid fours, xFIP above five. And so I still think Rodon's a good pitcher, obviously. He gets an 87 grade. That's about one standard deviation better than average. It's just he's maybe not quite – we don't expect him to be the Carlos Rodon from years past necessarily. The kind of caveat, the carve-out, the asterisk or whatever on this pick of note, the A's this season have been a little bit surprising in that their offense hasn't been as good as we expected, and the bullpen's been a lot better. I don't really expect that to continue. Now, if it does, the model will update that and slowly but surely continue to drop the A's offense to weaker and weaker. It'll continue to give the relievers a better and better grade. But when you look under the hood, there's kind of been a lot of luck here for some of these A's relievers pitching better. And I think you saw a couple of those things unfold a little bit this weekend where some of that's kind of bouncing back to normal. This A's offense isn't that bad. They've just kind of, I mean, they play in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. It's early in the season. They've played in a couple of parks that, you know, they just got through playing in Cleveland. And of course, that's a pitcher-friendly ballpark, especially in the month of April. So I think it's just been the circumstances that they've been in. I'm not sure. I mean, they're not a good offense, obviously. I'm not sure they're quite as bad as they've shown so far. And so that's really where the value in this pick comes from. Twofold. Number one, thinking that Rodon's probably not as good as the market is treating him. And number two, this A's team, while it's been a more lower scoring team, based off of better bullpen and weaker offense, I'm just not sure that's accurate, especially when you think through, you know, they had a really low scoring series against the Red Sox, and you look at them, that's another team that's also very weak on offense, but fairly decent in the bullpen. And it, you know, Cleveland's the same sort of thing. Cleveland's obviously done really well offensively this year so far, but, you know, just, you know, without going on and on and on about it, I think there's just some reasons to think this A's offense maybe not quite as bad as it's looked, and this bullpen not quite as good as it's looked. And really, we only need one of those to come through for us in order to get at least the push on this. That's why the eight is important, because this game could easily land something like 5-3. But over a grade, nine, the most common outcome here that we would expect given the projection of 8.8. And again, if either of the A's offense isn't as bad as it's done, or the bullpen isn't as good as it's been, if either one of them holds true, we got a good shot at this one. If both of them hold true today, we have a great chance. As I mentioned, the Yankees are big favorites. They should be big favorites. I think this is a great case of the risk is not worth the reward, and that while the Yankees should win, baseball is weird. We've just seen the Dodgers lose two out of three games in what, three straight series now, all at home, I think, or two of the three at home. I can't remember specifically, but you know, baseball's weird. Weird things happen. And so we need to make sure if we're playing big prices or we're laying runs or whatever, that we have the math on our side. And the math's not really on our side here. I'm not saying there's value enough to take the A's, but I think it's a good time to pass on the side instead and focus on the total. So the night games, Brewers and the Pirates, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, upper 50s to start, low 50s to close. Wind will be maybe a little out to start, maybe a little bit across, then a little bit in. It'll be a pretty slight wind, so no real wind effect. We are going to see slightly colder temperatures, kind of offset the fact that Pittsburgh can be a slightly hitter-friendly ballpark. Joe Ross and Jared Jones in this one. Joe Ross is an interesting case study here. Three games, averaging under five innings a start, 4.91 ERA, 4.42 xFIP, 2.93 FIP. So what that tells me is he's done a really good job of limiting the home run ball. Right now, the Pirates don't seem capable of hitting a home run, so maybe he'll do okay. Jared Jones for the Pirates has done really well in his young career. And obviously, if you're a Pirates fan, you're thinking about Skeens down there in AAA. Supposed to be, and based off what he's done this season, you know, a better prospect than Jones. But you have to be pretty pleased with Jones. Like, don't overlook that. 3.13 ERA, FIP and xFIP align perfectly with that. Maybe even a little bit better. a better than average grade. It was pretty impressive for a guy who's not thrown a major league pitch until this year, because the model's not built to just have these rookies come up and think they're, you know, better than most pitchers. So, you know, a really good pitcher in Jerry Jones, two good bullpens, the Brewers bullpen, really rounding into form here. And now all of a sudden ranked number two, according to Sideline, mainly from the fact that while a couple of the guys have struggled, Uribe specifically, the underlying metrics for these guys are really promising. They've acquired a lot of depth. Obviously, if and when Devin Williams returns, that makes this bullpen even better. But part of the reason the Brewers have done really well of late, and we'll talk about this with one other team, it really surprised me, this Brewers bullpen rating. But when you look at it, it kind of makes sense. If you stop and put everything aside and don't get caught up in the grind of baseball where there's games every day and just be like, okay, what's happening? The Brewers have won like four straight games or something where they've scored like two runs or three of the four or something like that. They're winning like super low scoring games. Like, how are they doing it? Well, it's pitching, right? And so it kind of makes sense that the model's taking note of that and being like, hey, like there were some struggles early on, but it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and that it was just some bad luck. The underlying metrics were there, and that's really what's shown lately with this team. And while they're winning these low scoring games, the offensive rating is plummeting after a little bit of a hot start there. Now it's starting to come back down to where we thought it would be. The Pirates offense still respectable, but it's also struggling. We're going to go first five over 4.5 here at plus 115. It's an A grade pick. Because of the odds, the probability this goes over 4.5 is greater than 50%. So plus 115 is something that's greater than 50%, is pretty good. Now, it's not that much greater than 50%. It's probably barely over that. If you're looking at a market of 4, I personally like the 4 a lot more than the 4.5. You have the push protection on 4, which is very possible. And the only question is, what sort of odds do you lay? And you don't want to go over 4 and lay like minus 150 or something like that. That would be a little bit absurd. But if you can find a 4 reasonable odds, that makes a lot of sense too. The other thing I will say about this is this pick is solely one of first five totals have done really well with the model. And for the most part, not every single game, but for the most part, any first five total that I've doubted the model on has worked out just fine. Not every game, but more times than not. Or it's gotten close and it's had chances and you're like, okay, like we're not going to win them all. I see where the model was going and it wasn't quite as crazy as I thought. Prime example of that, the game last week with the Royals and the Orioles with Reagans and Burns, you know, I was like, first five over, you gotta be kidding me, right? Seven runs in one inning. So I'm really interested the model on this one and how well it's done with the first five picks. It's a very uncomfortable pick when you look at what these teams have done, and I would not disagree with that. I mean, is this Brewers going to even have four runs in it, right? And I think that's why there's value, is because people are seeing what these teams have done lately and just said, oh, this is absolutely an under spot. And that doesn't mean it won't go under. It just, I just want to point out that in sports, the number of times we see things shift from one game to the next is kind of all over the place. A prime example yesterday with the Mariners, they scored 0 runs in 9 innings, only get the 1 freebie run in the 10th. In the first game, and in very similar conditions in the night game, they put up a 10 spot. And we'll see that. You see it in every sport where a team will just one day look completely different the next day. And so that's why we talk about projecting an average game, is that I'm well aware of what's happened recently with these teams. But if we were to just build a model off of what happened in the last week, we would not do very well because we would really overreact to small sample sizes. And so we're going to say that the model is doing a pretty good job of realizing what's happened lately and taking that into account, but also saying that's not the only thing that matters. The other thing that matters here is that these are average in general, just when you look at the screen, average starting pitching, average offense, average park situation. We should have an average amount of first five runs. You know, something like 4.5 makes a lot of sense. You know, 4 or 5 are pretty likely. And so we like this pick because it's +115 on the over 4.5. Or if you're going over 4, that the most likely outcome is being 4 and 5, you win one, push one. And that doesn't mean it obviously can't land 3 or 0 with the way these teams have played. But in general, some good value here. But because of how these teams have played, this the over 4.5 at +150 might offer a little bit more value just because of the fact that you might be looking at a higher variance type game. And if that's the case, then we might be just as likely to have 5 runs as 0. And so the plus odds might actually be a pretty good benefit here. So just kind of something to kind of wrestle with. And I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I am just trying to lay out some of the pros and cons and things for you to think about when selecting your bet. If you don't know and you have both options, I tell people all the time, just split your wager between the two. It's never a bad idea when you can't decide between your two options. But as always, people, make sure you're shopping around. Make sure you have multiple books at your disposal. Why is that? Because some of these books are going to offer you a 4.5 at big plus odds. Some are going to offer you 4 minus odds. Some places might even offer you 3.5 at big minus odds, right? And just having all those options at your disposal can help. If you don't have an account with them yet, BetUS is a great place to sign up. 125% bonus on your first ever 3 deposits. Does come with a rollover requirement, as most of the offshore books will, because they give these really generous offers. They do want you to play through the money a few times in order to not just, you know, make one bet, get a bunch of money, and then cash out, right? Keep the money with them and keep playing with them. But we'll give you enough plays here on this show that you should be able to run through that rollover requirement in, you know, a month's time. And the idea is you want to have your money in a lot of different books anyway, spread out so that you can take advantage of the different numbers, different prices, et cetera. And so BetUS is a great book to have as part of your repertoire if you're not with them yet. Link in the show description. Sign up today.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Phillies and the Reds, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Low 60s to start, mid-50s to close. We're going to be blowing slightly in. Very hitter-friendly ballpark in Cincinnati. On a night like tonight, it will kind of mitigate that. The model says that the weather will cut into that park adjustment by about half. It's not the coldest night where the ball won't fly at all, but the ball will fly a little bit less, slight breeze in, a little bit more pitcher-friendly than a usual game there, but it will still be overall a hitter-friendly ballpark. Ranger Suarez versus Hunter Green. The model's liked Suarez for some time now. 1.73 ERA this season, FIP and XFIP both in the twos. According to Sunland, the 29th best pitcher in baseball. Starting off the season strong, he's had some good times in the past as well. The model really likes him. Hunter Green for the Reds, 4.35 ERA. And underlying metrics are better than that, though. So I think he's probably going to be very okay. According to the sidelines, slightly better than average. Phillies will have a small starting pitching edge. They'll have a pretty big bullpen edge if it does come to that. The Phillies bullpen's pretty solid. The Reds bullpen, not the worst in baseball, but not great. Offensively, the Phillies have an edge. As we talked about all season long, really, the Reds' big issue with their offense is that they're losing two guys that are really important. And Friedel, you know, will be back in a month, 3 weeks. I don't know, something like that. You know, McLain, I'm not sure if he's coming back. If so, it'll be way towards the end of the season. But, you know, with Friedel back, at least that gets their offense back up, you know, closer to league average. If you could add McLain in there, all of a sudden it's an average offense. You got an average offense, some decent starting pitching, and they turn into a low 80s win team. And if things bounce their way, right, maybe they win mid 80s, right, and they're in that sort of team. But the problem is they're priced like that, and I'm just not sure this offense is that good yet. We've been fading the Reds a lot. It's worked more times than not because of the prices that we've been able to get. When it didn't work fading the Reds this weekend with the Angels, we were playing plus odds, you know, but we didn't have to lay that big of a price with the Mariners in those games, fading them. So we'll see how that continues to work. If we continue to fade the Reds and the Reds start to go on a hot streak or whatever, then we'll change tunes. The model will adjust. We will adjust with it. But so far, I'm not really seeing anything to indicate that this Reds team is any better than I thought they would be coming into the season, where I thought they were overvalued. They are 12-9 on the season, but I don't know. In my opinion, it's a pretty weak 12-9 when you look at the schedule and who they've played. They have already played the Phillies one in a series this year, so they'll be done with them after this weekend. But I think the Phillies might be the only team that's decent they've played besides the Mariners, who just swept them. So we'll see how they fare against the Phillies. They will miss Wheeler and Nola, which is a huge boost for them, or they'll miss them if they don't play four. I don't know if they're playing three or four. But those two guys went this weekend, so that could at least help the Reds here in this series. But, I'm assuming that as they're playing a team like the Phillies now again, that's one of the, actually a respectable team. You kind of expect the Phillies to probably win two out of three games here. We're going to back the Phillies at -117. It's a B grade pick. The A grade threshold for this is -116. So you're basically at an A grade here, 1 cent better. And who knows, by the time you're looking at this, you might be able to find a -115, which would get you to the A grade threshold. The reason we like the A grades is that we know if we're off a little bit, if we're biased a little bit, we know all models are wrong. There's no way to be exactly precise. And so the idea is that we can have a little bit more room for error, and we still have a plus expected value play. There's more detailed math that goes into that, but that's kind of the easy way, the too long don't read version of breaking it down and trying to understand it. So the fact that this is on the cusp of an A grade kind of tells us that the fact that the model might be a little bit more down on the Reds offense than it should be still says that we've probably got a decent play here. And the bottom line to me is I like backing Ranger Suarez at this point. I'm not sure the market views him as the 29th best starting pitcher. I'm not sure he's the 29th best, of course, but I think he's pretty good, and he's looked good this season. And when the models liked backing him for the most part, and he's pitching well, things have gone well for us. So I'll get back Suarez here, -117 B grade pick on the Phillies. Tigers and the Rays. This will be our one game with no pick. I don't think there's any value anywhere on this. So we're going to run through the game here and kind of go through some of your options and talk about it. But I don't think there's much advantageousness to have here in this one. Obviously, a game being played in Adome, a pitcher from the ballpark. Tarik Skubal versus Zach Littell. Both of these guys look fantastic. The model has not come around quite so much on Littell yet, because it's a small sample size, because of the fact that we're not thinking he's going to go quite as many innings, kind of more of a five-inning pitcher. And that matters to the model, because the longer the starting pitcher can go, the less it taxes the bullpen, the less variance you have with the bullpen coming in, where you need all the guys. If you're going five innings, you have four relievers come in. You have all four of them be on, right? And so the longer you can go, the less number of guys you have to have beyond, right? That sort of thing. So Littell going a little bit less deep. XFIP in the low threes, a little bit higher. Still very good. No complaints. Very good, good pitcher. But the model really just kind of needs to see a little bit more of that before it starts elevating him into the really good tier of starting pitchers. Tarik Skubal, after the run he had last year and starting off this year, the model has no problem putting him as the one of the elite pitchers in baseball, ranked number four, according to Sideline here. 2.28 ERA, XFIP, and FIP, both in the upper twos. He's been fantastic since whatever middle of last year and on. And there's really no reason that you want to fade him. That doesn't mean he's going to win every start, but you can't be that excited to fade him. This Tigers offense can struggle. The Rays offense can be a little bit hit or miss. Both these sets of relievers are very okay. This is a pretty even game. The Rays have the better offense, and they're the home team, but Skubal is going to balance that back out. And the model says this is pretty 50-50 game, and it's priced that way. Right now, the Tigers are maybe the slightest of favorites, but not by much, and the model might lean that way too. I think it's spot on right now. If I can get plus odds with either one of these teams, +105 or better in either one of those teams, it's reasonable. For the Rays, you would say, hey, we've got a better offense, you're at home, that sort of thing. Plus odds, sure. This Rays team isn't bad. If plus odds for the Tigers, you're like, hey, the Rays offense isn't that good, and Skubal's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So you can make a case for either one at plus odds, but it's such a coin toss situation. You really need those plus odds. If you can get either one of them into the plus 115 range, you'd have an A-grade pick. I don't think you see that. Total is kind of the same situation. I'm not dying to go over in this ballpark with these offenses and with these starting pitchers, but the current total of 7 is not one that I'm wanting to go over, especially with the we've talked in years past a lot about the baseball and the changes over the years. And there was the one year where it was like the really juiced ball and the one year with the dead ball. We've kind of landed at one now that's a little bit livelier than some of the ones in years past. It's not overly juiced, but it's a fairly live ball, creating higher, larger number of runs per game this year and last year than we have seen in a typical season when you go back 5-10 years before that. So with knowing that we're in a slightly higher, more higher scoring environment, you know, going under 7 needs to be 2 aces and or 2 really weak offenses and or great weather. You really need 2 of the 3, you know, great weather slash pitcher park, right? And you have a pitcher-friendly ballpark, I guess, yeah, but only, you know, maybe you can talk yourself into both these pitchers early, but the offenses aren't terrible, and you really would love it, like I said, if you're going under 7 to be a cold night in Seattle, a cold night in Cleveland, wind blowing in, that sort of thing, you know, a June night in San Diego when you've got the whatever weird fog thing happens and the ball just like, you know, you crush a ball and it's like a routine fly ball, right? I'm just not sure that's here for going under 7. It's a pass for me on this game. Just not sure there's a great way to attack it. But we've got picks on every other game, including Marlins and the Braves. Low 60s to start, upper 50s to close. No real wind happening, a very, very slight breeze. Should make this park play slightly pitcher-friendly, not extremely pitcher-friendly, but it would err towards the pitchers on this one. Ryan Weathers and Ronaldo Lopez. And I don't know what to say about Ronaldo Lopez. He's a guy I was high on coming into the season. The model really has a crush on him, and it's hard not to. A 0.5 ERA, 2.21 FIP. His ex-FIP's a tiny bit higher, but this guy's a really good pitcher flying up the sideline ratings. Chesham now the 23rd best starting pitcher. He's fantastic for the Braves. Maybe, you know, the idea is he's pitched so far better than the 23rd best pitcher. At this point, he's pitched more like a top 10 pitcher, especially with all the injuries. You start, you know, taking guys out left and right. Coming into this season, looking at last year, he wasn't a top 10 pitcher. And so that's what the model is trying to do, is trying to calibrate that and figure out how much do we look at what's happening this year? How much do we look at what's happening last year? And so the upside is there for him to continue to rise if he continues to pitch like this. Maybe he comes down a little. Either way, he's a very good starting pitcher for the Braves. Marlins will counter with Ryan Weathers, a lefty who's looked solid this year. As a guy who's always had potential. I have not really been high on. We've loved to fade in the past, and he's had many a disastrous start. Maybe starting to finally put it together here in Miami. 2.70 ERA. That's not sustainable for him. He's not that good of a pitcher. But his FIP and his ex-FIP so far in his 20 innings are in the low 4s. That's kind of where he projects to be at as well. Maybe kind of turning into an average pitcher. And this is a guy who at one point, I believe 2 seasons ago, was like bottom 5 in my model of starting pitchers who were actually, you know, seeing time in the big leagues. So quite an improvement for him. But it'll still be a tall task against this Braves offense, who still have one of the best bullpens in baseball. On the Braves at minus 1. When you make this bet, it turns into a minus 171 odds is the current price for that. Again, the way you make a minus 1 bet is you win a certain number on the money line, and that's the amount that you risk on the run line. And that'll create the minus 1 market for you. B-grade value, it's still fairly steep odds. You can play the straight run line if you want. But in general, with the home team, even with higher odds, I'd rather stick to the minus 1 and pay a little bit bigger of a price, just because if you have that one run game, an extra inning game or whatever, you can still get out of Dodge with the push versus one run games in baseball still happen. And if you're the home team, you're slightly more likely to win by 1 than if you're the road team. And so the minus 1 is personally the way I want to play it. If you want to play a little bit safer on the money line, a little bit more aggressive on the run line, you do you. But this is the way that I split my wager here in order to hopefully get the best of both worlds. And again, for me, it's a mental health kind of thing. It's just what I like the best, because I hate when a team's up one, you have them on the run line, you're like, now I need the other team to score exactly one so that we can go to extras. But like, oh, it just gets so frustrating. So the minus one is just the way I personally like to play it. But as always, you do you. The Braves have an edge here. We want to take advantage of the fact that Ronaldo Lopez is still undervalued, at least for now. If he keeps pitching like this, he won't be undervalued for very long. So Braves minus one, minus 171 is the odds. Be great pick. And the first leg of today's Moneyline Parlay of the day. We haven't done one of these in a while. Haven't had good opportunities for them. The value hasn't been there. But I think we won two of our last three that we did here before taking several days off. Not able to find good value, but the Braves money line makes for a pretty good parlay option. We got a little two-teamer. This is the first pick, Braves money line. So we're playing a minus one by themselves. And we're also playing them in a money line parlay with a pick coming up later. But before we get to that, Blue Jays and Royals, a chilly night in Kansas City. Mid-60s, lower 60s by the end of it. Wind will be what makes it feel colder if you're in the stands. 15, maybe up to 20 miles an hour. Gusts maybe into the mid-20s. Fairly windy night, blowing out to left center, center field, somewhere in that ballpark. Pun intended, I guess. The slightly cooler temperatures are going to be really offset by this wind. You have a very hitter-friendly ballpark, as we talked about before, a park that doesn't have a lot of foul ground, kind of a Fenway light, a park that can have runs in bunches. Not quite as crazy in the dimensions as Fenway, but one that is very hitter-friendly with the wind blowing out. You can see a lot of runs in this game. Over 8.5 is our play, 8-grade pick, minus 118 odds. You can play just the first five if you want, but I'd rather go full game for a couple reasons. Number one, I don't really trust either side of these relievers. The Blue Jays relievers aren't terrible, but they aren't amazing. The Royals relievers I have no faith in whatsoever. And so getting into the bullpens is an improvement because both of these starting pitchers are very respectable. Yusei Kikuchi for the Blue Jays and Brady Singer for the Royals. Both of these guys have sparkling ERAs this season. But when you look under the hood, they aren't that good. That's why the model gives them both a 94 grade. Specifically for Kikuchi this season, not under the hood for him this season, under the hood from previous seasons. So far, so good, but we need more than four starts before we start thinking he's an elite pitcher at this point. We've seen enough of him. We have enough data on him. He was probably more average coming into the season. So down to an 84, he's rising. But I'm not sure that he's as good as he's been this year. For Singer, 406 FIP. I'm not saying he's not better than last year. I think what we're seeing from Brady Singer is probably where most things in the world lie, is where the truth is in between the two extremes, right? Maybe not quite as good as that run he had a couple years ago. Not quite as bad as last year. Definitely improved. He's done some work to try to get better. And I think that's absolutely the case. Definitely better than he was last year. But I'm not sure we'll quite see that same run that he had from previous seasons. These underlying metrics indicate a little bit of regression from that insanely good 1.54 ERA. It's a pretty good Blue Jays offense. One that started to come around here in the last week or so after a really rough start. This is a great time, not a great time. I don't want to be puzzled. Like I'm rooting for him to fail, right? This is a pretty reasonable time for him to give up some runs and those underlying metrics to kind of shine through. So we're going to go over 8.5. I'm not really sure who scores more, but I think both teams have a good chance of scoring a decent number of runs. Both of these teams could easily get into 4 or 5. One of them has a good chance of doing better than that. And so if that's the case, there's only a couple of weird scenarios where we don't get over. This total should be 9.5, in my opinion. The fact that it's 8.5 is insane. There have been several mini totals that we've played, and totals haven't gone great for us full game. Mainly we've gone under, and that hasn't gone well. And so that's kind of the second reason why I like this as the full game over rather than the first five is when you get to the full game, you just have weirder things that are going to happen late, extra innings, and it's just the full game totals just have been higher scoring than the first five with regards to how we would normally project it. So that full game, getting the extra innings possibility, weird things with the relievers, that sort of thing, I think just makes this a smarter pick because when you add when you get the full 54 outs, maybe more, I guess maybe 51 if the home team wins. When you end up with that situation, odds are in this park, with the wind blowing out as strong as it is, with the Blue Jays offense, a Royals offense that's performed probably even better than their rating is right now, and has, you know, had some ups and downs this season, but it's still a pretty good offense, at least relative to what we've seen from in the past. There's a lot of ways that runs can happen here. And so, like I was trying to say, we've seen a lot of these totals we've taken where I've said the total should be a full run different, and 7 hours later it is. So it wouldn't surprise me if this total has climbed throughout the day as people realize that it was priced way too low. I'd still play over nine. Don't want to pay too much juice there, but over nine still would be a reasonable pick if that's where it lands. Over 8.5 is just way too good to pass up, knowing we get the win on nine, which is such a key number. A grade pick in Kansas City. White Sox and the Twins, mid to low 60s for this one. Wind will be blowing out at double-digit miles per hour. So a slight boost to the bats there with regards to the wind helping out in Minnesota. Jonathan Cannon versus Chris Paddock. Paddock, not been good in his three starts, 836 ERA. The advanced metrics, not really that much kinder to him. So his rating is holding on based off of what we thought about him coming into the season. But this year, it's been terrible. Jonathan Cannon looked great in his first start. One run in five innings, 261 FIP, XFIP a little higher, not going to take too much from one start. But based off of his projection coming into the season from his minor league numbers in years past, and that first start, he might actually be the better pitcher here. And with the way that Paddock's on this year, I don't think that's the craziest stretch. I'm not sure he'll end up as a better than average starting pitcher for the whole season. But as of now, got him as the better pitcher. We're going to go first five White Sox on the run line, getting the half run there at plus odds, A grade pick. The model has had a really hard time with the White Sox because they are so bad. Number 29 in offense, only because the Rockies are just as equally terrible. Of course, 30 teams in baseball. Worst relievers of baseball. Number 30 there. So, I mean, this White Sox team is truly terrible. Like, and the model's having a hard time with that, to be completely honest, because Cousin Gerald will get on here and I'll talk about it. Some of these outliers are tough. You don't see as many outliers in baseball. You see more of them in college football, especially in college basketball with more teams. You know, college football, you have 120 teams. College basketball, you have 360. You can have a team or two that's way out there. And sometimes models struggle with those really weird teams. It's not what the model's built for. It's built to be on average correct, not nail every single team, because that's not possible to do that. So the model has really struggled with the White Sox and has liked them a little bit more than I think it should in situations here lately. But if you notice, yesterday the model said take the White Sox in the first five. I was like, no. Not going to do it. I think the day before it said do the same thing. Like, no, not going to do it. I think those were good situations. I think that was just the model being like, I think the model's take was baseball's weird. This price is insane. Anything can happen. And I don't disagree with that, but that doesn't mean because there's value, we have to jump on it. This one's a little bit different. When I look at this one, I say, I don't trust the White Sox to do anything at all, period, because they're so terrible for sure. But hear me out. When you look at the starting pitching matchup, which is all that matters here, because the bullpen, one of the strengths of the Twins, and I would say one of the weaknesses of the White Sox, but I think the whole team's a weakness, really. Not a factor. So starting pitchers, you got an edge to the White Sox. Offenses, obviously the White Sox offense is truly terrible, but the Twins offense isn't that great. Still got a couple guys injured that really matter. They're pretty top heavy, and it's like this game could land 1-1, 0-0, 2-2. We've seen sometimes the White Sox hang in games and then get killed late, which you could have. I'm not saying that the White Sox win this game. I'm not saying they even win the first five, but I am saying the probability they win or tie the first five, according to the model, is 54%. Even if it's just 50%, plus 104 is a plus expected value play. So A grade pick here on the White Sox. I think there are going to be times when the White Sox offer us good enough value that we should take it. Not that they will win every time we take them, but we will be getting good enough numbers and prices that we can profit off. We're just going to have to pick our spots. This last weekend, I didn't think the spots were there. So y'all saw me pass on those. Monday night, I think it's reasonable. Doesn't mean they do it, but this is the right situation when you consider the starting pitchers, when you consider the Twins offense isn't really that good themselves. So White Sox first five, A grade pick on the run line. Diamondbacks and the Cardinals. Cardinals, again, mentioned letting us down yesterday. Great outing from Sonny Gray. One swing of the bat gives up two runs. They had a home run robbed in the first inning that would have given them three, and they'd have won that game if that home run wasn't brought back in. Great catch there by the center fielder for the Brewers. But the Cardinals, you know, let us down. But, hey, we're going to bounce back with them. We're going to take them again today. Even money. A-grid picking against the Diamondbacks. On a night that'll be pretty chilly in St. Louis. Mid-50s. Wind blowing about 10 miles an hour out. So we'll play pretty normal there. Brandon Font and Lance Lynn. Font is not as bad as his 5.32 ERA indicates when you look at the underlying metrics. Lance Lynn not as good as that 2.18 ERA. But in general, the starting pitchers probably balance out. The Diamondbacks have a better offense. The Cardinals have better relievers. The Cardinals are at home. Basically, the reliever difference is larger than the offensive difference, but of course will only manifest for a smaller number of innings, which pretty much balances out, especially when you give maybe a slight edge to Lance Lynn. Not much, but the slightest edge ever there. Also of note, the top relievers for the Diamondbacks grayed out worse. They desperately needed relievers last year. They traded for Paul Sewell, who's injured now, which hurts them there. So all of that balances out. If you put this game in, you know, Topeka, I don't know, Topeka probably still be Cardinals fans, but, you know, you put this in Florida, whatever, right? This is a true coin toss game. In St. Louis, the Cardinals should win 53-ish percent of the time. That's about what home teams win in baseball. And so the model says they should be favored, making this even money pick A grade value. The A grade threshold here -102, but the Cardinals should be favored because they're home and everything else balances out. So this is just one of those great examples of why we have the model. It doesn't necessarily mean the Cardinals win, but what it means is if we're taking even money or something really near even money in these games where the teams are about the same and set up about the same, but we got the home team, we're going to win a little bit more than 50% of them, and that's going to slow and steady increase our bankroll. So Cardinals, money line, A grade pick. Let us down Sunday. Let's see if we can bounce back with them here on Monday. Padres and the Rockies. Rockies rated worst offensively in baseball. I've said it all season. This offense is terrible. I said it last season. This offense is terrible. They put up some numbers because, of course, when you look at all the park-adjusted metrics, they are really, really bad. Them and the White Sox offense are running away with the worst offenses in baseball. It's not even remotely close how bad these are to everybody else. In fact, I'm not even sure we can quantify. I'm trying to quantify. It's literally my job here. But it's hard to quantify really just how different they are, because all the principles that we operate off on is that major league players, the talent gaps aren't that big. These are all really talented players, and the differences between the best and the worst aren't that much. Like, the difference between the best and me is a lot, right? But the difference between the best and the worst just isn't that much. And so we have ways to quantify this, but man, the Rockies and the White Sox are just like next level terrible offensively. You've seen it all year. The Rockies team even struggling to score at home, which is really tough to do in that park. Dylan Cease and Austin Gomber will be the pitchers in this one. Gomber, you know, 4.95 ERA, a couple of starts are in Coors. FIP's a little bit higher because you're pitching in Coors. XFIP a little bit lower because, you know, you give up more home runs in Coors than you should. So overall, just very, you know, I don't want to be too down on him. He's towards the bottom of starting pitcher ratings. The biggest thing here is the Padres, 105 offensive rating. It's ninth best in baseball. Right-handed heavy gets better against lefties. And so that's the biggest thing here is that Gomber's not a great starting pitcher relative to all the other starting pitchers. You know, that based off his ERA and his FIP, even his XFIP, what he did last year, like this, he's an upper fours, low fives type pitcher. And that's not great for most teams. Don't need to employ a guy like that, I guess, is the bottom line. That he's lefty sets up for the Padres to have a lot of success. I don't think the Rockies offense can have a lot of success against anybody. Going up against Dylan Cease, according to the sideline, the 33rd best starting pitcher, has started off his San Diego career fantastic. 2 years ago, he was unbelievable. Last year, a little bit up and down. So far, it looks like he's back to what he was doing before. 199 ERA, 285 FIP, XFIP in the upper threes. That's kind of the one blemish, is if he starts allowing home runs at a rate that we would expect, some of those numbers will jump. But he's still a very good pitcher, still going up against either the worst or the second worst offense in baseball. and that should allow him to have success, or as much success as a pitcher can have, in Coors Field. The park will play fairly normal, maybe slightly more pitcher friendly than usual, but only by the slightest margin. It's not like it was on Friday and Saturday. Friday, where we had the rain out, Saturday, where you were able to get the full game under pretty easily, where it was insanely cold. It'll be in the mid 60s for this one. Wind blowing kind of mostly across, so not affecting things too much, but strong enough wind to take note that we are still 13 hours right now as I'm recording this before game, 13 and a half hours for first pitch. Check back on the weather if you're betting this total, just because it's looking kind of variable, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. If it turns into in or out, that could affect things, because the wind is strong enough to matter. A lot of times you have 5 mile an hour wind and it's like, if it changes, it doesn't matter, right? This one, it would matter. So check back on that if you're a totals better. This one, though, we're going to stick to the side. Padres -1, A-grade pick. The odds on that when you make this are -148. And again, risk, whatever you want on the money line, whatever you win there, that's what you then risk on the run line to make this -1 pick. This is leg two of our parlay of the day. So our parlay of the day is going to be Padres and Braves, just money line. If you're playing them by themselves, we recommend playing the -1 because the odds get a little bit better. But if you're playing the Braves, Padres, money line parlay, you're looking at almost +130 odds. So pretty good price there on two teams that we think have really strong chances to win. Orioles and the Angels are play of the day over on Dub Club. We've liked back in the Orioles. We liked back in the Angels here this last weekend. Sign up over there today with the link in the show description to see what we think about this one. Albert Suarez against Reed Detmers. Detmers, 1.19 ERA, FIP in the ones, XFIP in the mid twos. Detmers is looking fantastic to start the year against Albert Suarez, a guy who looked pretty good in his first start coming over from the KBO for a couple of years. Again, Dub Club is the place for that pick, today's play of the day. To wrap us up with the Mets and Giants, this is the other team that really surprised me here with regards to the reliever ratings. But when you look at this Mets team starting to come around, they're playing really well. Just took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers after that really slow start. And when you look at it, the bullpen has been very, very strong. Obviously, we all know that Edwin Diaz is a great reliever. They've had some guys pitch really well out of the pen and has led them to some success. Giants relievers, while started off a little bit shaky, the models liked what it seemed from them and is grading them out pretty well also. But the Mets overall strength is why we're taking the Giants. The Mets overall reliever strength is why we're taking the Giants in the first 5 rather than the full game. The market, I don't think, quite realizes just what an impact the Mets relievers are having. And so I think the first 5 is the way to go on this one with the Giants. B-grade pick at -118. Giants got us to the window on the first 5 yesterday. If you had that pick before the starting pitcher change happened, and who knows, you know, that whole fiasco. But setting up for a similar situation as that was, where you never expect a lot of runs in that park, especially on a typical chilly night in San Francisco, upper 50s. Don't expect a lot of runs. But, you know, the Giants starting pitcher edge here with Keaton Wynn, and they're at home, should give them enough of a chance of winning the first 5 to make -118 worth a play. The model says this should instead be priced at -128. So we're getting about 10 cents worth of value here. And again, what those prices should be for money line, run line, for first 5, for full game, A grade and B grade thresholds, all of those available on Dub Club. The A grade threshold for this, -114. So even -115 wouldn't quite get you there. It'd be close enough. Maybe you could just say, you know, whatever, we're all fudge it, and it'd be close enough for us. But these offenses are both respectable. Mets offense might actually be a little bit better against righties than the Giants is against lefties. But the bottom line and why we think the Giants have a slight starting pitcher edge and a slight edge here in the first 5 before the bullpens kind of then balance it back out is the fact that while Quintana has a 3.05 ERA, his underlying metrics, which again are much more predictive than ERA, are more in the upper 4s. Whereas Keaton Wynn, while he has a 4.09 ERA, so a full run higher than Quintana, while we're only talking 4 games for each pitcher, the underlying metrics for him stick in the low 4s, again, whereas Quintana's are more in the upper 4s. And so Keaton Wynn's done a great job here filling in for this Giants rotation, some of the injuries they've had. And I think he's the better starting pitcher in this one. Not by a lot, but by just enough to make the Giants -118. First five, worth a play. Official grade there is B grade value. And that's our show today. Remember, sign up on Dub Club today if you have not yet already. Link in the show description for a free trial to start you out. Picks when you can't watch is our summaries, a bunch of information summarized in chart form and word form. All sorts of goodies over there, including our Discord chat. We have a lot of fun, a lot of people helping each other out, giving each other picks, discussing things we like, and again, just chatting about the games and having a good time over there on Discord. So a lot of reasons to be there if you aren't yet. Otherwise, thanks for watching. Best of luck, and remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.